Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Tuesday plan so far. You know, we started yesterday with the announcement from the Pro Football Hall of Fame that the great voice, the voice of God, John Facenda, was going to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame posthumously. Got an opportunity to play a very small role in that, just sending a letter to David Baker, the president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and just said, hey, for your consideration, or can we remind people that he was instrumental in growing the sport, contributor to the sport, and David Baker and the Pro Football Hall of Fame will honor John Facenda in a couple of months in Canton, Ohio. Then we had the interview with Scottie Pippen in the final hour of the show. And we were initially going to have John Rahm join us in the final hour of the show. And I said to Fritzy, look, this is going to take over the final hour of the show. Whatever Scottie says will take over the final hour of the show. We didn't know it was going to take over the entire sports world yesterday, and even media outlets who don't normally cover sports, because this was big. And Scottie Pippen has said some things recently, the GQ article where he talked about Phil Jackson and having Tony Kukoc take the last shot in a playoff game in 1994, he thought was racially motivated, and giving the white guy the opportunity. And Scottie said, I had earned that opportunity because I was there all of those years with Michael Jordan. Now this was my team. I wanted the ball. The fallout was pretty strong, and I don't know if we can advance the story. You know, we did reach out to Phil Jackson. We reached out to Michael Jordan. Phil was not available. I understand that you don't want to touch this. But I just thought, let's do our due diligence here. Let's be professional and at least give Phil the opportunity if he does want to come on and talk about this. He declined. Michael Jordan declined as well. And I don't know if we advance it. I think locally in Chicago, this is going to stay there for quite some time, because Scottie Pippen is, I mean, that's the market. If you're selling something, you want to make sure that that Chicago market is buying your bourbon or the book that he's going to have coming out this fall. But you don't mess with the 90s Bulls, because people have the image of the 90s Bulls that, hey, they all got along. You know, they were jigsaw puzzle pieces that all fit in there together. They were rock stars. You know, people showed up to watch the Bulls beat your team. And what Scottie said yesterday, and look, this is Scottie's opinion of what happened. I can't discount that. Now, nobody believes him, but it is his interpretation of something, of Phil Jackson. And I don't know how long he's harbored this, but you're talking 27, 28 years that he's holding on to this. And maybe he was never asked about this, But the fact that he said it in such a casual, offhanded way in the GQ article that this was racially motivated. And I don't know if, you know, Scotty's going, boy, the only way I can sell bourbon is if I have some crazy, outlandish, headline-worthy stuff to say. And it might be the opposite in the city of Chicago. But Scotty said what he said, and look, I appreciate him coming on. I just wanted context. That was it. And he didn't have to come on, but to be able to ask him, and he offered up some other stories, you know. And there part of me that I, you know, I felt bad because I wasn't trying to protect him, but I wanted to be fair to him. Let me put it that way. But I got to be fair to Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan. You can't just go, let me pick sides here. And, you know, I was trying to be as neutral as possible. There was only one moment where I was a little more agitated with him when he said, do you understand English? And, you know, I can't let my personal feelings get in the way of that. And that's what I tried to just sidestep, move on, and let me continue with the interview. But I never saw it, never heard it, but it doesn't mean it didn't happen. But it doesn't mean that it did. You know, that Michael was playing to the cameras in that game-winning shot by Steve Kerr, that Michael was doing it because everybody knew it was a documentary, and that's what Scotty said. Like, I'd never heard that before. Because I was trying to say, hey, Scotty, Mike's been a decoy before. You know, Phil designed a play for Steve Kerr, and he goes, no, that wasn't Phil, that was Michael. Michael was doing that for the camera. I went, okay. That's Scotty's interpretation of this. But he's been holding on to some things for a long, long time. Whether they're real or not, they're perceived or not, it's his interpretation, his opinion. And that's why I thought, I'll listen to it. I don't agree with everybody's opinion who comes on this show, but I'm willing to listen to their opinions. But that was pretty damning yesterday to say that about Phil. And, you know, Phil may say something that he doesn't know how it's being interpreted. You know, when he referred to LeBron James and, you know, the people who work with LeBron James as a posse, LeBron James took offense to that. Like, these are my business partners. This isn't my posse. And Phil may not have realized that how that sounded or how it would sound to LeBron James or an African-American. I have no idea. But Scotty said what he said, and I'm guessing that this book that comes out in the fall will probably have some more bombshells there. Because it feels like Scotty wants somebody to listen to him. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Clippers beat the Suns, and the Suns up 3-2, 41 for Paul George. We'll talk about that coming up here. Bucks Hawks game 4. Chris Mannix was on the scene for the Phoenix Suns Clippers game last night. He will join us coming up here in a little bit. The Lightning rolled the Canadiens 5-1 in game 1 Stanley Cup final. Finally, there's no more controversy. Paul George is officially playoff P, at least for today or last night. The Clippers star, he went 15 of 20 from the floor, had 41, leading the Clippers to a game 5 win in Phoenix. It's one of those where you're watching the lineup that the Clippers put out there and you're going, it's a makeshift lineup. Like Boogie Cousins is out there. And 3 years ago, he's going for 28 points and 13 rebounds. Now you're just saying, hey, can you give us 10 minutes out there? Terrence Mann, Patrick Beverley. They got injuries. No Kawhi. You're on the road in Phoenix. Phoenix can close you out. Phoenix can go back to the NBA Finals. And somehow the Clippers picked up the win. And you know what? You needed something great out of Paul George. I think part of the reason why we pile on Paul George, and some of his teammates came to his defense after the game, he called himself playoff P. You know, if you're Reggie Jackson and you say, I'm Mr. October, and then you strike out a couple of times in a big moment, then we're going to probably turn that on you. If you're clutch, you call yourself clutch, but then you aren't clutch, then we're going to question that. But it's not like the media said, hey, you're playoff P. The nickname was first uttered in a room with about 15 reporters, and I believe this was in 2018, postseason game against the Utah Jazz. And Paul George was asked about his responsibilities. He was guarding the then-rookie Donovan Mitchell. Paul George grinned and then said, you all ain't met playoff P yet, huh? Okay. All right. Playoff P. That became a thing the next day, and then it stuck. Playoff P. Well, we are in the playoffs, and you want big-time performers to give you a big-time performance. And that's what you had last night. Somehow they bullied his son's team at full strength. You know, I thought the Clippers, they played almost, 18 games in 37 days? 38 days? I wondered if they're just fatigued. But Paul George would not let them falter last night. They still have a lot of work. I said it yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers won the game. Why? Because they shouldn't win the game. And they've done this. There's an interesting stat with what they've been able to accomplish so far. The Clippers now have 7 wins while trailing in a series in the postseason. 6 of those 7 wins by double digits. Both are the most in a single postseason in NBA history.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, bap, bap. Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Here's Paul George after the win last night.
We thrive in this moment. We come together even more so in these moments. This team, you know, is just made up of toughness all across the roster. And so we're going to give it everything we got, and we live with the results.
Clippers played like they were desperate, and they were, and they are. Down 3-1, now 3-2. The Suns have to play that way. You can't just show up and say, in front of our home crowd, hey, we're going to win this game. They don't have this guy and this guy. You got to play with desperation, because the Clippers, you know, that feeling of, hey, let's just go in there and, you know, whatever happens, you know, we're not expected to win. That's a dangerous team. It's like the Atlanta Hawks have been that team in the Eastern Conference this year in the playoffs. Like, hey, nobody expects us. Remember, they weren't even getting by the Knicks. And then they did. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, wow, they got by the Six. Oh, okay. That's what it feels like with the Clippers. They shouldn't be underdogs, but they are because they don't have Kawhi Leonard. Will they get Kawhi Leonard? Is there a chance that he'd come back if there's a game 7? We've heard very little news information about that. I'll ask Chris Mannix about that coming up. Is there any chance that he does play? Can he play if there is a game 7? So we'll talk to Mannix about that coming up. Poll question, McLovin, what do you have for me?
All right, let's start with the NBA playoffs. Which trailing team has the best chance to come out winners in this series? The Hawks down 2-1 or the Clippers down 3-2?
I'm going to say the Clippers have a better chance. You're going home, and if you can force a game 7, you've already proven that you could win in Phoenix. You can look back to that incredible alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton. You could have won that game. They could easily be up in this series when you think about it. But you got to come out and you got to be the bully. And you can't just show up, because the Clippers have a very good coach who makes adjustments. And you got some younger players who are starting to believe in themselves. And that's dangerous. And Paul George knows sometimes you'll see a player play better when he doesn't have to worry about who he defers to all the time. And I bring this up with Ben Simmons when he had a game against Utah earlier this year. He made his free throws. I think he had 42 points. Joel Embiid wasn't playing. Because now your role has changed. Now it's on me. And I think Paul George, he had to embrace that, re-embrace it, because he used to be the star. In, you know, Indiana, he was the star. He had to defer a little bit with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, and here with the Clippers. But what you're seeing is somebody who is taking it upon himself to be the star, and he certainly has been. Yeah, Paul.
Who do you think you would bet on to win this series right now?
I would bet on the Suns because they are healthier and they have home court advantage. But, you know, if you said, are the Clippers going to win this next game? Sure. Like, it's one of those, we've seen this before in other series. Now you're playing against a better team and a healthier team, and you have no business winning this series. Yeah, Paul.
It really feels like a must-win for the Clippers. Really feels that way.
Thank you, Paul.
I like when people say it. I'm going to the oppo. I like when people say it when it's not a must-win.
Thank you, Paul.
When they're down 2-0.
Yeah, thank you.
It's an actual must-win.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
Wait, are they better or worse with Zubats not playing? By the way, where did that come from? All of a sudden, their starting center's out.
I have no idea.
And if Kawhi is at ACL, doesn't he need surgery, or is he going to miss the entire? We're already into July.
It could be a sprain, but we've received no updates there. But it feels like that he's going to have this kind of. He's had this condition since he was with the Spurs.
Wait, I don't understand. It's a condition?
Well, it could be. I mean, I don't know if he's having surgery, will need surgery. It could be that he's just going to have an arthritic knee. He's going to have persistent pain. This is why he load manages. But I don't know if it's just something as simple as, hey, have surgery and this all goes away. Doesn't sound like that. This program is brought to you by M-Drive. M-Drive Boost and Burn, the supplement that can help shed pounds, build muscle. Visit mdrivedan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Yeah, Paul.
Don't you always have hope if you see a player, even though in street clothes, out at warm-ups, just kind of like grabbing a ball, moving around? Or sometimes a player will, when they're rehabbing, will go out an hour before the game. Kawhi's in street clothes. He's not anywhere near the court. But
he's not even on the bench.
Right.
He's not even on the bench.
He didn't even go to Phoenix last night. He wasn't even there.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Chris Mannix was in Phoenix. Get his thoughts on what's going on here. A few other things around the league. Is Dame Lillard saying he wants out without saying he wants out of Portland? And I'm sure the New York Knicks will be mentioned, because you can get some clicks if you say, you know, teams that could be interested if Dame Lillard becomes available. The New York Knicks. 17 after the hour, just getting started. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. I've teamed up with Full Sail University to launch the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. You get your bachelor's degree in sportscasting, and we teach you everything, all the aspects of sportscasting in front of the camera, behind the camera, podcasting, radio, everything in between, esports. What I love about Full Sail, and well, there's a lot of things, their approach to education, hands-on learning. You have faculty with real-world experience to prep the students. I mean, I would put our faculty up against any faculty in America that teaches this, because they have probably, I think we totaled up 200 years of experience in the business. It's a wonderful faculty, and they can tell you everything that they've gone through. If it's a director, somebody on the assignment desk, a producer, on-air talent. At Full Sail University, earn your bachelor's degree in about half the time, as short as 20 months, and you can earn it online or Full Sail's campus in Orlando, Florida. You can learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting going to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gourmet biscuits made from scratch using healthy, all-natural ingredients. It's Penny's Bang Biscuits. 1 pound bag, 120 dog biscuits there. 20% of all the Bang Biscuit sales given back to hand-picked partners in the pet industry, including the place where I got my rescue, Winnie. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond, from their customization options to the cutting-edge tech to their five-star sales service and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go that extra mile, taking the all-important first step into a dealership today. By the way, you can go to danpatrick.com for Penny's Bang Biscuits and also great new T-shirts that we have. Before we get to Chris Mannix, kind enough to join us from Phoenix, here is Paul George from that 2018 press conference where he introduced us to Playoff P.
You guys faced them so early in the season that Andre was the guy who was primarily on Donovan for most of those possessions. I mean, is that something that you were going to take on, a guarding Donovan for a Georgia possession?
Yeah, I'm used to it. I'm used to this. Yeah, I ain't met Playoff P yet. I'm used to these matchups. I'm used to playing against the best offensive guy during these moments, so...
That's when Playoff P was birthed. Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated NBA senior writer, joining us from Phoenix. He was in attendance for last night's game between the Clippers and the Suns. What's your big takeaway from last night there, Chris?
You know, just
the resiliency of the Clippers. I mean, we've seen it throughout these playoffs, going down 2-0 in both the first and second round. But, you know, this comeback and win in this game was maybe even more impressive to me. I mean, they learned about the injury and, well, the extent of the injury to Zubac at the morning shoot-around, and to already down, you know, Serge Ibaka, Kawhi Leonard, and now being down your best big man, going up against a big physical team with a guy like DeAndre Ayton, to still be able to not only rally and win, but they came out fast, Dan. I mean, they were up 20-5 early in this game. They had multiple opportunities in the second half to fold. You know, the Clippers have this history of not showing up in big moments. That history, regardless of what happens in this series, I think has been largely erased because of the performance of this team.
But you try to handicap this series. I wasn't surprised, said I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers won last night, because why not? Now they go back home where you would expect the Clippers to win. So what do you expect here in game six?
I have no idea. You know, there's an argument to be made that, you know, this was kind of the Clippers shooting their shot here. This was everything they had left in the tank. I mean, Paul George, look at the minutes Paul George has played in this postseason. I think it's like 735, which is like 130 more than anybody else in these playoffs. I mean, sitting in the interview room after the game, I mean, he looked exhausted. Marcus Morris, who has battled a knee injury of his own, had to go 41 minutes largely against DeAndre Ayton. He looked exhausted. I mean, there's only so many, you know, proverbial bullets they have left in the chamber. And, you know, going home, I'm sure they'll get a bounce off that home crowd. And, you know, one thing these Clippers players said last night to a man was that, you know, they knew they were down 3-1, but, you know, they looked at it like a couple of breaks here or there, the valley oop, you know, better offense in game four. They could have been up 3-1 in this series. So they've got a little bit of confidence, but at some point, all these injuries start to take their toll. And if Zubac can't go in this game six, I just have a hard time seeing Ayton struggle as much as he did and the Suns play as poorly defensively as they did.
What is Kawhi Leonard's status?
I wouldn't expect to see him in these playoffs.
No matter, even if it goes game seven?
I don't believe it. Okay. I have not heard any indications. And Kawhi, as we all know, plays everything kind of close to the chest. But, you know, you talk to Clippers personnel, you know, whether it's on site or, you know, via text message, you just don't get positive indications that Kawhi is coming back. I don't know the full extent of that injury, if it is something that may require surgery down the line, but there are no indications yet that Kawhi is, you know, a return is imminent.
But is this an injury that is going to stay with him, or a condition that is going to stay with him the rest of his career?
Well, it's hard to say with this injury specifically. Now, he has had that knee problem that has needed to be load managed since his days at San Antonio. I would say that particular version of the injury is going to be with him for his entire career. I mean, Kawhi, I forget how old he is, right around 30 at this point. But so I don't expect that to change anytime soon. So with the course of an 82-game season, we're going to see Kawhi at most play 60, 65 games for the rest of his career. This injury felt a little bit different. This was one of those, you know, kind of injuries in the moment that we may find out later that it was an ACL injury that requires some type of surgery. But the day of Kawhi Leonard, Dan, playing 80 games in a season, those days are long since over.
Gosh, I don't remember those days. When's the last time he was ever close to that?
2012, maybe, yeah. 2013. Yeah. Like, you got to go back to the early San Antonio days before, you know, that injury happened that cost him almost a full season, that last full season with the Spurs. So, look, it's not the end of the world. I mean, Toronto won a championship with Kawhi, you know, being load managed throughout. I think the Clippers, you know, you could argue if Kawhi Leonard was healthy, you know, they'd be the favorites to win the championship this year. There's a pathway for them to win, or any team that has Kawhi Leonard to win with him being load managed. It's just kind of a fact of life for him going forward.
Have we been unfair? We, the media, been unfair to Paul George in our expectation level?
I don't know. I think social media probably has, but social media is unfair to everybody. Social media, mostly boxing fans, hate me. Like, so, like, I mean, it's like, it doesn't, it is kind of what it is when it comes to critiques. Now, I'm sure if Paul George could hop in the time machine, he would go back and not say what he said in that clip you played. Like, he would not call himself Playoff P. Like, that has kind of stuck to him like white on rice there. And it ratcheted up the level of expectation. If you call yourself Playoff P and then you subsequently have back-to-back early playoff exits in Oklahoma City, you blow a 3-1 lead with the Clippers, that is going to be something you are tagged with for the rest of his career. But when you're a superstar and you don't win championships, I mean, LeBron James gets criticized still. He's won multiple championships. That just kind of comes with the territory when it comes to being a player of that status.
Yeah, PG-13, we were okay with. Like, that was a nice, cute nickname. You know, but Playoff P, you know.
Has anybody that's given themselves a nickname ever felt good about it afterwards? I'm struggling to think off the top of my head who else has given themselves nicknames. But usually, like, Shaq gave Paul Pierce the truth, and that stuck, and that worked well for Paul Pierce over his career. If somebody gives you a nickname, it's great, because even if it doesn't, even if you don't live up to it, you didn't give it to yourself. Like, it wasn't you that's called yourself that. When you call yourself Playoff P, you put a target on your back if you don't play like someone that lives up to those expectations.
Well, Dion called himself Primetime.
But lived up to it.
Lived up to it.
Yeah. Like, if you can call yourself Primetime.
You know what?
If you call yourself the greatest of all time, like, and certainly is in the discussion for that as a favorite to be called that. I mean, if somebody calls yourself MVP, if that's what he did and he won multiple MVPs, you lived up to it. But if you're Playoff P and you struggle, look, I do think this is the best postseason he's had since his Indiana days. You know, maybe better because of he's put in a position without a Danny Granger or David West that are around him. I mean, look, he was shooting 35% going into that game five. And you look at the first half and he was pretty passive, and you could see kind of the critics start to warm up. And I think even I wasn't listening to it, but I had seen tweets about the broadcast were criticizing Paul George for that first half. And then to come out in the third quarter, just blow the doors off, 20 points. They get 3 3-pointers in that period. I mean, that was a Playoff P level performance for Paul George.
Talking to Chris Mannix, the Sports Illustrated NBA senior writer. Why do boxing fans hate you?
They think my scorecards suck. I do that for DAZN. And boxing's polarizing, though. Everybody thinks they know exactly what they're talking about. It's probably one of the worst sports for that.
Okay. I just wanted
it's there. To, yeah. Watch a big fight. Monitor on social media. It's interesting.
You know, I don't do social media.
That's true. Paulie does, though, so he can text you.
By the way, social media, yesterday with Scottie Pippen, were you monitoring social media?
I was. I saw McLovin's tweets first and foremost, and then I saw the clip. I mean, I'll be the umpteenth person to tell you, tremendous interview with Scotty. I mean, I thought you did everything you could to get to the root of the racism charge, which is the big one that's out there. I didn't think he had a single answer that made any sense. So I had people texting me afterwards, NBA people that were just, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but like, does Scotty need some help, you know, after this? You know, what's going through his mind right now that he would sit there and make a racism charge? I mean, look, he's been upset about the Tony Kukoc play for decades now. Like, that's never going to change, despite the fact that Kukoc made the shot. Like, he hit the shot and helped the Bulls advance. Scottie's still upset about it, but there's no evidence that Phil Jackson is a racist in any way, shape, or form. Players that have played for him have never charged him with that before. That's an ugly thing to say unless you have specific examples to back it up. And, you know, I watched that interview a couple of times. He doesn't seem to have one single example to back it up. I mean, and there was a lot of weird things, like Michael Jordan, you know, controlling the cameras. Like, now we're getting into tinfoil hat conspiracy where he's, you know, he's telling Steve Curry he's going to pass him the ball because the camera that he controls is watching, and he's thinking about his documentary 20 years later. There's just a lot of dot connecting that Scotty was doing in that moment that didn't make a lot of sense.
The Damian Lillard situation in Portland, I, I can you clear, like, what is the situation? Because I'm not sure if he wants out. Is this passive aggressive? Is there something going on with what his future is going to be in Portland?
Well, Chauncey Billups gets introduced as the next head coach today. And my understanding is they're going to all try to get into a room and figure out if this is salvageable with Damian Lillard. I grow more and more skeptical by the day, Dan, that it is. You know, I said this on my podcast this morning, but like, Damian Lillard is like the guy breaking up with the girlfriend for the first time. Like, he wants to break up with her, but he doesn't know how to. So he's going about it in kind of a ham-handed type of way. And that's what Dame's been doing. And it's not just the last couple of days. You go back to the immediate aftermath of the loss to the Nuggets. And he had this cryptic tweet that was a cryptic Instagram post that was out there about how many times do I have to keep doing this with the same result. He then somewhat bizarrely goes out there and throws his support behind Jason Kidd, of all people, to be the head coach of the Trailblazers. And there have been more, obviously, social media posts in the last couple of days as well. Look, I don't think this is about the coach. I don't think it's about Blazers fans criticizing him for his involvement in the coaching search. I think plain and simple, Damian Lillard at 31 years old is looking at the Trail Blazers roster and saying, I can't win. And I can't argue with him with that. I mean, they got beat by a Denver Nuggets team without its second best player that subsequently went out and got absolutely smoked by the Phoenix Suns in four games. That loss has not aged well for the Trailblazers. So I think what it comes down to for Lillard, as loyal as he's been to Portland, is that he wants to win as he in the final prime years of his career. And this is kind of his sort of somewhat clumsy way of going out and forcing that. The irony of all this, Dan, is that I think a Damian Lillard trade is the best thing for both sides. Lillard can find his way to a new situation, give himself a chance to win, and Portland, which has really no chance to win at the highest level with Damian Lillard the next couple of years, can recoup one of, if not the biggest trade haul in recent NBA history. I mean, Lillard has that type of value on the open market. So this is kind of it's an awkward situation right now, but in the next few weeks, even maybe months, if Damian Lillard is traded, that could wind up being the best thing for both sides.
Okay, but the most likely destination, and do not say the New York Knicks.
No, I mean, and by the way, please, Lakers fans, stop like sending your trade machine things out that include like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as the centerpiece of a deal. Like that's unless you're dealing Anthony Davis, you're probably not getting Damian Lillard. Two things to remember. With Davis, with Lillard, you're going to work with him on a trade. You're not just going to dump him like on Oklahoma City or something like that, where he can play the final few years of his contract out. You're going to work with him on where he wants to go. And you're going to have to find a situation where he can win. That means going to a team with at least one second star that's on it. And then you start to look at the return you get. Like, you're not dealing Damian Lillard for Bradley Beal. Because Bradley Beal, while being 28 years old and still a great player, has 1 year left in his contract and is not going to stay in Portland beyond one season. So you're looking for kind of what, say, Oklahoma City got, where they got a blue chip young player in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a haul of draft picks. Using those as the early parameters, I would say there are two teams right off the bat that stand out. One is Philadelphia, because Ben Simmons is still out there and the Sixers still have their draft capital over the next few years. Simmons is signed through 2025. And as flawed as he is, he's still a perennial all-star at 24 years old who, if he ever fixes his shot, has the potential to be great. The other, it's Boston. I can't believe we're doing this once again, where the Celtics are in the mix for another superstar, but here we are. Boston has Jaylen Brown. He's 24 years old. He's an all-star for the first time. He gets better every single year. You can build a trade package around Jaylen Brown, a lot of the young players they have in Boston, and their cache of draft picks over the years as well. It's like we're very early in this process, and because Lillard is signed through 2025, you're probably going to have teams try to sneak in and find a deal that works. But when this started to pick up, those were the first two teams that I thought of that are also, by the way, in the Eastern Conference, where you don't have to deal with Damian Lillard for more than two times a season and never have to deal with him in the playoffs.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate your time as always, bud.
You got it, Dan.
That's Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated NBA senior writer. Oh, McLovin all giddy.
Yeah. How do the logistics work? Am I allowed to print out my Lillard Sixers jersey yet? Is it available on NBA.com? That's all I need.
Well, I pre-ordered my Tim Tebow jersey, and they said it's not coming till next month. I hope that Tim is still on the team, by the way. Damian Lillard and Ben Simmons. So then is it Lillard's team or is it Joel Embiid's team?
It's Lillard's team. Well, I don't know. Oh, my God. We're back to this.
Just
problems with the 76ers?
Throwing it out there. Is it Jason Tatum's team in Boston or is it Damian Lillard?
Can't you just let us enjoy these fake trades?
Yes.
Who's taking the last shot, Dan? There's only one ball.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Paulie.
I love critiquing a team that hasn't even gotten together yet. This is a mess. They're never going to work.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. Play of the day coming up next year on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play.
The play is called play.
Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Ohtani crushes one deep right field. Good bye. Welcome to New York, Shohei Ohtani.
The Batman has arrived in Gotham City. 26th home run.
That's courtesy of Bally Sports West Television. This is going to sound strange for you to hear, but I would show up to listen to Shohei Ohtani in batting practice. Not watch. I could just listen because he has 4 of the 20 hardest hit home runs in baseball this season. The exit velocity, 117 miles per hour. It just sounds different coming off his bat. That's your play of the day. Brought to you. Yep, gone. Get ready for summer M-Drive Boost and Burn, the supplement that can help shed pounds, build muscle. Visit mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Doug in North Carolina, what's on your mind today, Doug?
Well, Dan, every morning I watch you on Peacock. Well, I listen to you on Peacock. I turn it on and I try to go about, I'm at work and I try to go about my normal day's work. And yesterday I had to stop. I had to click over to the actual broadcast and watch, and just because it was a moment. It was a moment that's going to last a lot longer than most of your shows. And I wanted to tell you my one big takeaway from the Scottie Pippen interview, if I could.
Okay.
And it's awkward to talk about, but I think one of the problems we have is in our vast English language, we have one word, and that word is supposed to describe everything from a guy who's a member of a clan to someone who believes in horrible stereotypes. And yesterday, my initial reaction is when I heard Pippen use the word racist, I thought the worst extreme. I thought, oh my God, he's calling the worst thing in the world that you could say about Phil Jackson. And I think really what we're dealing with is, it's almost like a spectrum. And the question I would love to ask Scottie Pippen is, would you have been upset, would you have taken the court if he had drawn up a plan to pass the ball to another African-American player as opposed to the one white guy who was on the court?
All right. Well, thank you, Doug, for the observations. I don't know how Scottie would answer that, but Scottie felt like he was slighted in that moment. But Scottie, you know, Scottie, this is basketball slighted. This now, to Scottie, it's not. He saw it deeper than that. To me, it was Tony Kukoc, while being a rookie, did have a decorated career in Europe and was considered a great player coming over and a coup for the Chicago Bulls to get him. But here is Scottie Pippen talking about that moment when he sat down, Tony Kukoc stepped up and hit the game-winning shot.
Well, I mean, it's not much to be said. If you go back and look at when Scottie Pippen entered the Bulls and when Tony Kukoc entered the Bulls and who deserved the last shot of the game.
No. I understand that, Scottie. I'm just going by what you said. You said you need to read between the fine lines. And then you go on to say it was a racial move to give him, Tony Kukoc, a rise. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, if you knew that Scottie Pippen had been with the Bulls from 87, battled through the Pistons and every other team that we had to get to those three championships, wouldn't you give Scottie Pippen one opportunity to get a last second shot without Michael Jordan? Like, 1 year without Michael Jordan, can I get one shot? Like, I'm doing all the dirty work.
But all of that I understand from the basketball standpoint. But when you say a racial move.
Well, why would Tony, who was a rookie, get the last second shot and you put me out of bounds? That's what I mean, racial. Like, that was Scottie Pippen's team.
But
Scottie
Phil
Pippen
then,
was but, on pace to be an MVP that year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why would you put him in a position not to be successful? Why wouldn't you put him in a position to succeed? Michael Jordan is not there. So who's next in line for you?
But have you talked to Phil about this? Because by saying a racial move, then you're calling Phil a racist.
I don't got a problem with that.
Do you think Phil was or is?
Oh, yeah.
I'm still trying to kind of sort this out when he says it, that in his mind, he views it as a racial move to give Tony Kukoc the opportunity to hit that game-winning shot. I think the Bulls were down 2-0. I don't think this was a moment where you say, you know what, let me give it to Tony Kukoc, he's white. Phil's trying to win. That's just my interpretation of it. Scotty says, well, you weren't in the locker room. He's right, I wasn't. You were looking at this from afar. He's right about that. To say that Phil didn't design the play for Steve Kerr and use Jordan as a decoy, go back, because Michael was playing to the cameras. He was about the documentary he was doing. I just can't imagine that he's going, hey, I'm going to design a play and Mike is going to call the... Mike is going to be the one that designs the play for the cameras, for the documentary, that we didn't even know it would ever air. Because Mike had control over the documentary, and who knew that it was going to surface and he was going to do a 10-part series. But in Scotty's mind, and that's the important part of trying to understand this, I can look at this from a logical perspective, from somebody who was there with the Chicago Bulls, but not in the inner circle with the Chicago Bulls, and say logically, that doesn't make sense that he's going to pick Tony Kukoc because he's white. He picked Tony Kukoc because he was the right person to take the shot. Not the white person, the right person. And he ended up hitting the shot. And Scottie didn't even celebrate. It was a selfish move on Scottie's part. Just like Scottie said, Mike playing baseball was selfish. Yes, you can say that. But Scottie was being selfish in the moment as well. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. John Rahm, the U.S. Open champ, is going to join us next hour. You know, we're going to have him on yesterday, and thankfully we said, John, you don't want to be in the last hour after Scottie Pippen comes on. Maybe John Rahm can top Scottie Pippen today somehow. But John will join us next hour. McLovin, the poll question?
Who's most likely to come back? The Hawks down 2-1 or the Clippers down 3-2? 74% say the Clippers.
I just don't know, with all the injuries with the Hawks, having the manpower to go against the Bucks, who are a healthy team. You look at the Suns and the Bucks; they should play for the championship. They're the healthier teams here. I think Trae Young being listed as, I think, questionable. I expect him to play in this game. I just don't know what we can expect out of him. And you're going to need a Herculean task here. 1 hour in the books, two more to go. Seton Pauley, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly. We're back with the U.S. Open champ, John Rahm, and your phone calls after this. One more item, first hour, and it's a new partner of ours, and they have a new app, Stifel Wealth Tracker app. When it comes to managing your investments, knowing where you stand is half the battle. Let me tell you about Stifel. The Wealth Tracker lets you build your personal balance sheet, track your net worth over time. You can securely link all of your financial accounts using bank-level encryption and monitor of how your investments are performing in one place. Stifel Wealth Tracker also gives you direct access to Stifel's award-winning equity research, investment strategy views, and more. Stifel has helped clients manage their investments for over 130 years. When you need professional guidance, use the Stifel Wealth Tracker to connect to a Stifel financial advisor and get the help you need. Best of all, Stifel Wealth Tracker app, completely free. Download the Stifel Wealth Tracker on App Store, Google Play, or at stifel.com/tracker. That's STIFEL.com/tracker.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.